Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. But I want to ask us to turn tonight in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 8, and I'll read all the way down to verse 20, just for us to get the context there. So 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in verse 8. There the Apostle Peter writes, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water." Amen.
Oh, man, know what it's like, so I apologize for that. But if you've got your Bible, we're in those verses, 1 Peter 3. I'm going to be sort of focusing in on verses 13 to 17. And again, I thank you for the warm welcome. And I bring greetings from Wallasey. And for us as a church, this sort of time of year, it always sort of feels like a bit of a new season. I don't know what that feels like as you as a church. Sort of summer is over. A normal church has resumed, whatever normal is. I don't know what that is. But that's sort of the season that we often feel we're in. And what I wanted to do this evening is just maybe think again about our evangelism, our witness. Where we are in Wallasey, there's around 90,000 people who live in that town. It's a big town. Thousands and thousands of people are not worshiping the Lord Jesus. They do not know the hope and the gospel like we do. For you guys in Hoylake around this area, it's a little bit smaller. I think maybe about 5,000 or 6,000 people around here. And on the Wirral, 325,000 people. Many, many people do not know our Lord Jesus Christ. The need is great, isn't it? The need is so great for those who we know and we love and many of us. The need is so great, isn't it, to know the Lord Jesus. And before we get into it, I thought it'd be really, really interesting just to, I don't know, get a bit of a view, really. If you grew up in church, if you were born and bred in church, maybe just raise your hand. Is that your story? That's my story. Which is amazing, isn't it? That the Lord raises us up in a family, maybe parents. It's wonderful. Maybe for you, maybe you raise your hand if someone at some point later on in life maybe invited you to church. Maybe if that, yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Wow. This is what the Lord has done in your life. Maybe if you are a believer, a Christian, maybe it was that one friend. You know that one friend who sort of badgered you for a long time? Yeah, maybe just raise your hand there. It was just that, yeah, praise God for that friend who did not give up on you and kept praying for you and sharing the faith. It's wonderful. Maybe for you, maybe share your hand if it was an outreach event, maybe a summer camp or an outreach event, something like that. There's a few older folk. Remember Billy Graham in our church? Was it 1984 in Liverpool? Yeah. Wow, what an impact that had on Merseyside and Liverpool. Many now are still going strong in their faith. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's really encouraging to see this, isn't it? One last one. Maybe one day, if this is you, you just out of the blue open God's word and read it. You've never been to church in your life. I know a few people who that is their story. It's amazing the way the Lord works, isn't it? And how he's doing it. And he's still doing it, isn't it? Maybe for you this morning, this evening, you're sort of newish to church. The Lord, this is your story. The Lord has brought you here for a reason, hasn't he? And praise God for that. When we're thinking about sort of witnessing and sharing the good news of Jesus, sometimes we think, don't we? Maybe I just don't have the gifts to do it. Maybe that's not me. Maybe I haven't got the gift to sort of share the gospel with others. But the reality is that most people don't just turn up in church out of the blue. Some of them do, and we praise God for that, don't we? And the Lord works in that way. Most people, they don't just turn up out of the blue, do they? Usually someone's invited them along. Usually it's been that friend maybe for a long time. Will you come to church? Come along, see what it's like. This is the way it works, isn't it? And I don't know about you, often we can feel maybe a sense of guilt that we're not sharing about Jesus, aren't we? Have you ever felt that? Or maybe we think, you know what, I'm just a bit worried I'm going to say the wrong thing. Yeah, I'll leave it to maybe Hugh and others. They'll say the right things. But me, I might just get it a bit wrong. And we're a bit worried about that, aren't we? I think often we all sort of feel like that, aren't we? But the reality is that all of us are believers. We have been saved to God, to his people. We've been brought into his church. And we have a calling on our lives, don't we, to gather each week in worship, in reverence of awe, and with reverence and awe each Sunday. We are called to serve each one of us, whatever gifts you are. Use it. We are called to give our money. And we are called to witness. Each one of us are called to do that. All of us, including you and me. And that's amazing that God wants to use you and me, isn't it? Like he wants to use you to share the good news about Jesus. He wants you to have the joy of that. It's just wonderful, isn't it? All of us as believers, we desire the lost to be saved, don't we? All of us. Each one of us. That is our heart. We desire them to know the mercy and the grace of God that we have received. That's what we desire, isn't it? We want it for our friends. We want it for our neighbors where we live. We want it for those in our family, maybe our children, maybe our parents. All of us, we've got that desire in us, haven't we? So maybe a few things just to think about in the verses that we're in this evening that may just help us with this. Firstly, the heart is the heart of witnessing. The heart is the heart of witnessing. When we sort of think about witnessing and evangelism, we mean sharing the good news of Jesus. And there are many wonderful books to read about doing that. There are many wonderful courses that you can do, maybe Christianity Explored or Alpha and all of that. There are many sort of techniques you can learn in that, maybe to open conversations. But the reality is, isn't it, that we speak what flows out of our hearts, isn't it? What is in our hearts, what we love in our hearts, it overflows, doesn't it? If you think about maybe a young lady who's engaged to be married, that young lady speaks about the delight that she's going to get married, don't she? She shares it with her mom and dad. As soon as she gets engaged, she rings her family and tells everyone. She tells all of her family and all of her friends. As soon as you meet her, she's straight up to you, showing her an engagement ring, isn't it? The good news in our heart, the love is infectious, isn't it? It overflows. You'd be worried if she came up to you a bit concerned with a sense of guilt and then wanted to share with you that she's engaged. You'd be, is everything okay? Do you know what I mean? We talk about what captures our hearts, what we treasure, what we love, what we hope for. If you've ever had a conversation with someone, you know what their love is, don't you? You can work it out. And really, this is what the Apostle Peter is sort of saying in the verses. And if you've got your Bible out in verse 15, as we already read, but in your hearts, revere, honor Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. In your hearts, revere, honor Christ Jesus, and it will overflow. When we delight in the Lord Jesus, when we honor him with our hearts, when we revere him, when we worship him, when we delight in him, not just on a Sunday, but all parts of our life. When our affections are on him, when we treasure the Lord Jesus, we will find it easier to talk about him. We just will. It will naturally just overflow and we will share it with others. Without that sense of guilt and fear, it will just overflow. It does. The early church that Peter was sort of writing to, well, they were facing jail, maybe, persecution, maybe death for their faith. We're not yet. We're not. We are maybe facing maybe embarrassment, something like that. Or we think people might think, you know what, we're a bit outdated and believe in this old gospel. Or maybe people think, you know what, they might think we're a bit stupid. Doesn't matter. Even if it comes to suffering or harm for Christ, remember ultimately that no one can harm us. We've died with Christ. We've been raised with him. What can man do to us? Nothing. Peter is saying if your heart is delighting in Jesus daily, it will naturally overflow. It will. But Peter really goes on to help us, to give us some points, some maybe practical points to consider. And Peter talks about the importance of doing good. Doing good in verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? And then verse 16. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Goodness prompts people to ask why. It does. In our modern world, it really does. Goodness, good behavior, a desire for what is true and good, it sometimes opens doors to conversations. And many of you will have experienced that. Sharing about the Lord Jesus means obviously speaking. How will people know and believe? They need to hear the gospel. But good deeds, living a good, holy life, can help us get to that point of talking about Christ. And really, Peter is calling the church to live a life of good deeds before a world, that is watching us. They want to call us out on various things. And Peter's saying, let them see our good deeds, and it will have an impact. We are called to live in a way that is often very, very different to the culture that we are living in. We are called to behave in a manner that will lead people to ask, why? Why do you live like that? This is alien to me. Why are you doing it this way? The way we speak in work, college, school, not swearing. Honestly, that has an impact, doesn't it? Not constantly moaning about that manager in work. You know that one? But not joining in with that. Being gentle in the workplace or in uni or whatever. Being gentle and patient, supportive of others. Or when we see that neighbor in the street, we're helpful. We ask them how they're doing. Or maybe there's just a sense of peace that we have through the Spirit, and our friend knows that the struggles that we are going through and the difficulties that we've lived through, and they ask why. That a good word, that a kind deed will open to conversations. Why do you live like this? Why don't you get angry? Why don't you swear? Why are you kind to that person? And remember, some people will not like the way we behave. They won't. You'll find that in work, won't you? They will not like it. But others will look at you and say, why? I want to know a little bit more about this. What is your reason? What is your hope? Look, this is what Peter's really saying, isn't it? Look for opportunities to display and do good, practical deeds of love, service to others, and questions will be asked and conversations will open. Another big point that really Peter is telling us is to redirect our fear in these moments. Redirect your fear. Fear completely cripples us, doesn't it? Fear traps us. What am I going to say? Am I going to get it wrong? Am I going to honor the Lord in what I say? And we get a bit stuck, don't we? And verse 14, Peter urges us really in verse 14, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not fear their threats. Again, this fear, maybe because, you know, we feel like we're going to say something wrong or stupid, or we're going to get embarrassed. The answer, again, is, and it's quite a simple one, isn't it? Let the awe and the wonder and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ rule your heart. Rule your heart. Be stunned and moved by what Christ has done for you. Who he is, and we've sung about it, and we'll be reminded, won't we, in a moment in communion, what he's done for us. Be stunned and moved by that. And do not fear. What have you got to fear? Know his power and glory. That is why we meet to worship each Sunday, isn't it? That's why the church does it. So important to be reminded again and again and again. This is what God has done for you. This is who you are in Christ. Now go out into the world and do not fear. Remember who you are. Go into another week. Be stunned. in verse 18. What a verse. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteousness, that he might bring us to God, being put to death. Wow. Be stunned and amazed by that. And then go out and share the good news. Be in awe of what God has done for us in Christ, so that you do not fear their threats and you are not frightened by what they say. If in your heart you revere Christ, if you trust in him, you do not need to fear. Share your hope. Be gentle. Be respectful. God is with you, really is. And we've also, we're told, aren't we, further on, to be ready always and with everyone. Ready always and with everyone. In verse 15, this is what Peter says. Always, always be prepared to give an answer to who? To everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be ready. Are you ready? Always be ready. Who with? With everyone. Every single person that you may encounter. It could be tomorrow morning. Are you ready? Monday morning in work. Are you ready for it? Why did you go to church on Sunday? Why did you go? Are you ready to give your hope, the reason? You go to church? That's weird. That's unusual. Be ready for it. Be ready to give an answer, to explain the hope that you have that is in Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. Be ready always with every person. In a world of no hope, our hope is real. It's the only hope, and it is real. Our hope is, 1 Peter 1:3 says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope's real. It's a living hope. It is alive. So Monday, it could be in work, someone asks you, what did you do on the weekend? Well, I sat here today. It rained all day, so pretty much stayed in. Sunday, I went to church. Wow, tell me a bit more about that. What church do you go to? Okay, where is it? What's the name of your church? Evangelical, what does that mean? Tell me, what do you believe in? Be ready at all times. And then often, I don't know if you've ever had this, when you're talking to someone, often the conversation is, oh, my mum and dad, they went to church. My grandparents went to your church. Be ready. What do you believe in? You can then maybe say, can't we? This hope is for you. Come along. Hear about this. Do you want to sit down? Do you want to talk a bit more about this? This good news that has changed my life and many others, this is for you as well. This is for you. And really, Peter was saying, it could be anywhere. It could be any time. It could be anyone. Anyone asking you. Peter's been saying, is saying, be ready. Be open for it. There is no perfect day, is there? There is no perfect day when you're just going to, when this conversation of sharing your hope just flows. There is not a perfect day. It's going to be a strange conversation. It's going to be an awkward question, isn't it? What, have you seen this on the news? What do you think about that? You're a Christian. What do you believe in? I'm really struggling with something in my life at the moment. What can you say to me? Be ready with all people at all times. And remember what Peter tells us. It is wonderful to study and read God's word. And we all do that, don't we? We should be growing as mature believers. It's great to have sort of prepared arguments about the existence of God. And we can do that well, can't we? But in a way, Peter is telling us to be ready to share your hope. People want to know your story, don't they? It's personal. What is your hope? And in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word hope, it doesn't mean a sort of wishful thinking, is it? No, it's a confidence. We have a confidence in the future glory that is to come, that is based and finds its yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a real hope, isn't it? Our hope is Christ Jesus crucified for sinners. It's an old hope, and it's the same hope today, and it will be in the future, and it does not change. It's a wonderful hope, isn't it? Christ Jesus crucified for sinners, that includes everyone, raised from the dead. And it's a wonderful hope. That hope we have in Jesus is often evident in our lives through times of hardship and sufferings. It has been, and maybe in our life as a family, in your lives as a church, that is so true, isn't it? No, the world does not have this hope, isn't it? Do they? And it's tragic. It's sad. When I walked to church through Wallasey, 90,000 people. It's sad. It's tragic, the amount of people with no hope and how that plays out in their lives. We have a real hope that is often quite compelling to non-believers. They want to know why you suffer with joy. They want to know what brought you through that, because they are often experiencing the same pain and suffering. They want to know a real hope, and it's a wonderful way to share in the gospel, isn't it? Our hope will get people's attention. Some people will recognize that they don't have this real hope in their life, and they will ask you, why are you joyful? Why are you joyful? It's strange and alien to many people. Why are you joyful? That means that often our sort of evangelism, our witness, is not always a sort of public proclamation at the front in church, is it? It's not always a sort of structured argument. You know what? Sometimes it just feels like a bit of a counseling session with a friend, doesn't it? I know what you're going through. This is what I believe. This is what Christ has done in my life. This is what God promises in his word. Many of you will have non-believing friends who call you on the telephone when life goes wrong. This is my wife and many of the ladies in our church, non-believing friends who for some reason call you because they know there is a real hope in you when their life goes wrong. That's wonderful. That's a gift from God, isn't it? That a friend knows that there's something different when they call you. Be encouraged. Be ready for it. You don't know when that call's coming. Be ready at all times with everyone to share your hope with gentleness. Use those times. And then maybe one sort of last encouraging point is not found in 1 Peter, but in Colossians 4, verse 5, which is, I just find so encouraging and maybe challenging. In Colossians 4, verse 5, Paul says, be wise in the way that you act to outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversations and your talking be full of grace. You know what? Everyone is a sinner who needs Jesus. We still need Jesus, but everyone we encounter, we are to talk full of grace and love. And it says, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. And that sort of original term means, it sort of referred to language that was maybe a bit amusing or witty or humorous. And really the idea is, it's not sort of saying be funny or whatever, but I think the point it's saying is like, when we're not robots, are we? When we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not robots, thank God. We're not robots. God has created each one of us unique, with very unique different personalities. Our sharing of our hope, it should sound like we truly believe it, because we do. But let them hear and understand, and maybe walk away from those conversations thinking that person truly believes in what they're saying. If you are quiet in your nature, that is wonderful. Use that gentle tone with that person. It's great. Some of you will have no problem going up to a new person and starting a conversation. That's not me, but some people are like that. They just go up to that person and start a conversation. It doesn't really bother them. And it's a wonderful gift, isn't it, for people in the church to have that gift in. Maybe for others, some people have a sort of strange sense of humor. They can meet a person for the first time. They can just maybe say something and they get a conversation going. It's wonderful, isn't it? Some of you may be a little bit weird. That's okay. Use that weirdness. It's wonderful. Weirdness is good, isn't it, at times? It's wonderful. Some of you are so gifted and maybe opening your homes or maybe just saying to people, do you want to just go meet for lunch? It's a wonderful gift, isn't it, for people in the church to do that. That a gift of hospitality, it's such a gift. In other words, we are all unique, aren't we? And that is really good news in the church, isn't it? And God can and he will use that. And then lastly, it's really good to think about and pray about and ask God to use us as individuals. For us as a church in Wallasey, we sort of started last September, that as a church, we're going to pray for 10 lost souls in Wallasey to be saved. And we just ask people just to write names down, people you work with, friends and neighbors. It's been so encouraging to pray for those people and encourage each other. In a few weeks, we're going to baptize 5 new believers, which is wonderful. Praise God. We're still praying for the other 5, but we are so full of joy. Pray, write down names. Who do you work with? Who's in your family? Who's that child that you've been praying for years? Who's that parent that you've been praying for? Do not give up. Who's that neighbor that you see? You know that strange neighbor. You just talk about wheelie bins and that sort. Like, pray. Be intentional. Be ready. Be ready to share your faith. Pray for neighbors. Continue to look for ways to bless. How are you doing? Maybe pray for and think about good deeds. In your workplace, consider your way of life in the workplace. Your conduct in work, how you live, where your hope is, how that is played out in work. Be ready in work for that question Monday morning. What did you do over the weekend? Be ready for it. Be ready for it. Pray and consider those who you may meet this week. Maybe in the gym. I don't know if you go to the gym. I don't. But be ready for it. In the barbers, gentlemen, that's the place, isn't it? In the barbers, be ready. Ladies in the hairdressers, be ready for those questions. Be ready for it. maybe just in the shops tomorrow. Pray that God would open doors in a sort of strange, supernatural way, that it's only the Spirit opens conversations. Look for ways to bless. Look for ways to invite people along to church. Do you want to come? Do you want to come to church on Sunday? Maybe consider giving them a book to read. That's always good, isn't it? Remember also as a church, we are not on our own in doing this evangelism, are we? Share it with each other. Who are you praying for? Who is it you've met? Who is it maybe that friend that you're going to meet next week? How can we be praying for each other in those conversations? Remember, if we are faithful, and that is what we are called to be, if we are faithful, God is pleased with all of our efforts, whatever the outcome is. And we leave the outcome with the Lord, don't we? It is the Lord who saves. In verse 15 again, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and do this with respect. Let me pray, and then I will stand and sing again.